Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Nun Tes. We are holding on daf Nun Ches and Beis. We're going to backtrack a little bit to Hu Gavra, about 18 lines from the end of the page on daf Nun Ches and Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Leah Shalom, and also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all come home safely and quickly. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to discuss today is we started the conversation yesterday about assessing damages. How do you assess if an animal does damage on produce in a field that's not fully grown? So do you just assess the actual value of the produce, or do you look at the larger field? How much of the larger field do you assess in terms of the change in value now that the animal has done the damage? So first thing we're going to discuss is whether Nizkei Adam is the same, meaning if a person does damage on produce in the field, is that treated the same as when an animal does damage on produce in the field? Then the Gemara is going to discuss, when assessing the payment and assessing the difference in value, what if there's a certain benefit to the damage that you did? Meaning, by, let's say, taking peiros off of a tree prematurely, so the tree is able to maintain many of its nutrients that would have been depleted had the peiros grown to completion. So do we take that into account and say, well, in a certain sense, the fellow benefited, so maybe we deduct that from the payment that you're going to make? And the Gemara is going to try to associate various shitos in Tanaim outside of the halachos of trees and fruits to that concept of deducting the benefit from the payment that's going to be made. Then at the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to come to a psak halacha in how to assess payment for nizke gufo on a tree. Then the Gemara is going to tell an interesting story about payment for unripened dates, but it's going to come in the context of an interesting story that relates to Avelus on the Churban, and it just comes up here because the conversation ended up to be about payment for unripened dates. Then the Gemara prior to the Mishnah is going to discuss how to assess when damages were done to fully ripened peiros. Do you say, okay, now you don't look at it the field anymore, these are fully ripened peiros, even though they may still be attached to the field? Or do we say, as long as they're attached to the field, you have to look at the bigger picture of their relative value to the field in general? Then on the middle of Amud Beis, we're going to have a Mishnah about the halachas of Nezek when you have grain in someone else's field without permission. We've already discussed this, so it's just going to be a very teeny tiny piece of Gemara between the two Mishnayos. I bring grain into someone else's field without any permission. I leave it there. What if the grain gets damaged by the fellow's animals? What if it does damage to the fellow's animals? So where is the where does the responsibility lie? And then the last mission, the daf, we'll see if we get to it today, moves on to the discussion of Eish, and that's going to be for a while. We're going to be talking about Eish, and it's going to talk about what if you give a fire to a Cherishat V'Katan, and you put fire in other people's hands, to what extent do you have responsibility for that? So let's begin, again, backtracking all the way back to Hu Gavra, first words on the line are Hu Gavra, about 18 lines from the end of the page. So Hu Gavra, de kot kashpa michavri. There was a guy that cut down a dekel tree that belonged to his friend. So also the kamei de Reish Kalusa, the Nizik went to the Reish Kalusa to sort of make his claim that he wants to get reimbursed for the damage that happened to him. So Malay, the Reish Kalusa said, l'didi chazi liyutlasa talso bikina havakaymi. He said, I saw the tree that was damaged, and it happened to have been one of a cluster of three trees that were all together. And these three trees together were worth 100 zuz. And therefore, my ruling is zil havle tzlasan v'tzlasan v'tilta, that the fellow has to reimburse you 33 and a third zuz, which is corresponding to one third of the three trees. So Amar, so the Mazik said, Gabi Reish Kalusa didon din de parsa lamali. What do I need to be dealing with a Reish Kalusa who follows the dinim of the parsayim? These are not the dine Torah. The dine Torah don't tell you to look at just three trees and say that and assess the value based on that. So therefore, asa l'kamed Rav Nachman. He went to Rav Nachman, who is an expert in dine mamonis. Amar le, Rav Nachman said that we should evaluate the value of the dekel tree b'shishim, that it should be based on 60 dekalim. How much would 60 dekalim be worth, minus what, you know, and how much are 59 dekalim worth, and that's the differential in value that that you look at. So Amalei Rava, so Rava said to Rav Nachman, well, wait, Imamru Beniske Mamono, Yomru Beniske Gufo, granted, we just spent the whole daf discussing how we do make an assessment, Bishishim, that we look at 60 times the amount of the land or the produce or whatever, but that's when your animal does damage to the property. Do we say the same thing when a human being does damage to the property? So I'm like, Abaye l'Rava, Abaye said back to Rava, b'niske gufo, ma'idei teich. Why is it that by niske gufo you would think you would not be makel to say you measure by 60th? I mean, why would you think niske gufo are any different? So, the Tanya must be based on the following b'risa. I mean, there's no way that Rava would have suggested a chilek between niske mamono and niske gufo unless he had a source to suggest such a chilek. So must be that it's from the following brisa that a mavkir karmo shel chavero smadar. If a person destroys someone else's vineyard when the peros are still smadar, they're not fully grown. So how do you pay? Roen also kama haisa yafa. You see the hezek. How much was it worth kodem l'chein before the damage happened? V'kama hi yafa liachar mikan. And how much is it worth now after the damage happened? V'ilu b'shishim lo katani. But it doesn't say a word about shishim. It just says look at what it was worth, what it is worth, and you pay the difference. Not a word about how you have to look at 60 times the amount of produce and nothing like that. So that must be where you got the idea that when it comes to Adam Mazik, we don't look at Shishim, because the Bryce that talks about an Adam that's Mazik doesn't mention anything about Shishim. So yeah, but by that same token, Atugave Behemto Nami Mi Lo Tanya Kiagavna, don't we have a similar Bryce that talks about a behemoth that does damage and also neglects to mention Shishim? Now we're going to quote a lengthy Brysa, and much of our daf is going to be elaborating on this Brysa. Just to be mindful, the only reason we're quoting this Brysa is to show that we're assessing Nizke Behema without mentioning anything about Shishim. But once we quote it, we're going to get to a lot of the other details that are mentioned in this Brysa. Ditanya, the Brysa tells us as follows, Katma Netia, that if a person cuts down and destroys a tree, a young tree, Rabbi Yossi Omer Gozrig Zeros should be Yerushalayim. The people who used to make various knossos in Yerushalayim, that Omrim, they used to say, and these people are identified as Hanan and Admon ben Avi Shalom. They are the Gozer Gzeros in Yerushalayim. So they said that if it's a Netiyah Bashnasa Shtei Kesef, it's a 1-year-old Netiyah, so then you pay 2 Kesef. Bashtei Shanim, a 2-year-old Netiyah, then it's Arba'a Kesef. Achl chazis, if the animal eats shachas, the growth in the field that didn't sprout properly, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, nidon b'meshuyer shabo. We make the assessment based on what it was worth when what would be left in the aruga in the harvest season. So how much is lost because how much would have grown from this shachas that the animal ate up prematurely. So you have to look, and during the harvest season, what do things normally grow to? And then you can appreciate the loss that was caused because this produce didn't have a chance to grow to that point. The Chacham say, no, you don't look at, try to figure out prospectively what this would have been, and then no, what is it? What was the field worth before? What's the karka worth now? The difference between them is what you're going to pay. So achla smadar, if it ate grapes when they're at the stage of smadar, at the beginning of their growth, as soon as they begin to sprout, Rabbi Yeshua omeronos on kiluena navam omdos libatzer, that you view them as if they are grapes that are ready to be harvested, meaning you pay based on what they would have grown into, and they would have grown into fully ripened grapes. The Chum Roman Roan Kamai Siyafa Vakami Yafa, and the Chum say no. You look at how much the land was worth with the grapes, how much the land is worth now that it does not have the grapes, and you pay the difference between them. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Bamed Var Mamurim. When do we say that you that we evaluate? evaluate the nezek agav the karka, and you pay based on the differential and the value of the karka. That's bizman sha'achalul ve'gufan of yichurei te'enim. That's if it ate clusters of grapes and figs that appear at the time of the chanata, but they're not yet nicker because they haven't yet sprouted. Aval achla pagim obosar. But if you eat the figs when they're pagim, or the grapes when they are bosar, which means that they've sprouted, they're growing a little bit, they're just teeny tiny, but they haven't they're already something. Then ronos akilu anav mamdosi batzer. Since they're already figs or grapes and it's just not fully grown, then you could look at them as if they. Then you can try to assess what they would grow into and assess the loss based on what they would have otherwise grown into. So why do we quote this whole brisa? Because katani mihas, it said in the brisa v'chamomrim ronos akama hisayafa v'kama hiyafa, that the way to assess the damage is how much is the field worth before, how much is the field worth now, v'lo katani b'shishim, and it never says in the brisa and look at 60 times the size of that which you've done damage to. No, it doesn't say anything like that. Why doesn't it say that by Niske Behema? If after all we learned the whole daf yesterday was all about measuring Bishishim when it comes to Niske Behema, because Bishishim, obviously it means Bishishim. So Achanami Bishishim. So too when it comes to Niske Adam, it doesn't mention Bishishim because it's obvious. Bishishim is just the way we make these assessments. So do not be Medayek Rava from the fact that there's a brisa about Niske Adam that doesn't mention Shishim, that it means that it's not true. There's a brisa about Niske Behema that also doesn't mention Shishim. The reason it doesn't mention is not because it's not true, it's because it's obvious. So by Niske Adam, it's also obvious. So Abaye brings Deos that hold that we consider what it ate b'meshuyer shabos. We're about to see. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Shmuel, Amru Dover Echad. Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Shmuel have the same basic opinion. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Hada Amaran. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we just quoted in the Brisa, talks about a behema that eats a netiyah, that when it comes to eating shachas, when it comes to eating the stubble on the field, Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, we view it based on meshuyer, which means based on the value of what would be in the aruga at the time of the harvest, so we then know what loss you caused, because we know at the time of the harvest what it would have grown into. Rabbi Shmuel says something very similar to Tanya, because we have a brisa when it comes to a person's animal being mazik someone's mamon. It says metav sadehu or metav karmo yishalem, and it means metav sadehu shall nizik or metav karmo shall nizik, that you pay based on the very best of the fields and the vineyards of the nizik, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. That's Rabbi Yishmael's sheet. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo ba hakasuv el ligvos nizakin min ha'idis, that the pasuk is teaching me not like to teach what Rabbi Yishmael said, but rather to teach me that you collect for nizakin that which you make the mazik pay is from the best of his karka. Kavul chomer lahegdish, and kavul chomer that you collect for hegdish from the iddis. So the pashtus is that when Rabbi Shmuel says that you pay meitav sadeu shal nizik, meitav karmer shal nizik, he means you pay the based on an aruga shemena, even though it only ate an aruga kusha, even though you pay the best kind of produce, even though it ate only a very shvach and not such a high quality produce. So why would that be the case? Why would you pay more than you damaged? So we have to obviously qualify that and interpret that a little bit. Why would Rabbi Shmuel say, if I damage low quality stuff, I have to pay high quality stuff? So velo temak Ravidi Baravin, and do not think that the explanation is the way Ravidi Baravin explained it. Tam Ravidi Baravin kigon cha'achla aruga bein arugos velo yadinan ikhusha v'yishmein avay, that Ravidi Baravin said, no, the case must be that the animal damaged some aruga of produce and you just don't know what the quality was. So the Amar Kum Shalom Shmeidim Mevetav Dika Ashta, and Rabbi Shmuel is therefore saying you go to Chumra and you pay Metav Sadeh Shal Nizik and you assume that the animal must have damaged the highest quality stuff and therefore you got to pay for the highest quality stuff, because that's against Dachilo Amrinan, that's against everything we say about Dine Mamanis. My my time, I'm losing my chaver, I'll have a raya. Because in general, if I'm not sure how much I owe you, and you're not sure how much I owe you, you're never going to say, oh, be machmir and pay the most. No, I'm losing my chaver, I'll have a raya. We go the other direction. We always say, be makel and pay the least. So what did Rabbi Yishmael mean? Ella b'metav dilekamei umayniu kiheich desalik. But what does he mean by metav? It means that which it would have become if you would have allowed it to grow. If the animal, instead of destroying it, would have left it alone, that which it would have grown into, that's what you pay for. Ah, so that's Rabbi Yishmael saying exactly like Rabbi Yossi, when you're assessing the damage done to non-fully grown produce, you assess it based on what it could have become, what its potential could have been. So Amar Mar. So now let's go back to that Braisa. And we said in that Braisa that Rabbi Yeshua said that you view it as if they're anav momdosli batzer, as if they're grapes that are ready to be harvested. And the Chum say, no, look at the field. How much was it worth? How much is it worth? And then Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Bamed Var Mamurum. When do we say that you look at, we make the assessment of the Nezek, Agav the Karka, and you pay based on the differential in value between the Karka before the damage and the Karka after the damage? That's only Sha'achlo. That's only if it ate the gefanim and the teinim before they even sprouted at all. So that's when you're going to say that you look at the karka and at the change of value of the karka. Implication of that line is hasmadar, that had the animal eaten it after the fruit began to sprout and after the fruit is already somewhat recognizable and slightly grown, then you're going to assess the fruit based on what it could become. You view it as if it's a fully grown grape already or a fully grown fig, and that's what you're going to pay for. But then the Seifa goes on to say, meaning that the very same Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Shimon goes on to say, Achla pagim obosar, that only if it eats pagim obosar, more fully grown, more developed fruits, only then udaron rasakilu anav momdosi batzer. Only then do we assess it as the damage based on the potential for it to fully grow into a complete fruit, which implies hasmadar, that if it were only if what the animal ate was a smadar, ronos akami hiyafa v'kamai seyafa, then you would just assess the field. Meaning, essentially, we're asking a stira from mashmaus, a stira mashmaus of what Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shimon, because what he gave is two extreme examples. He gave an example where the animal damaged something that was not grown at all, and where the animal damaged something that was grown a lot. But he did, never fully, but grown a lot. He does not give the example of something that was just very, very little bit grown. So from the fact that he says when it's not grown at all, then you have to look at the field in general, implies that if it's a little bit grown, then you would look at the value of what the fruit can become. But then he says, no, if it's a lot of bit grown, then you look at what the value of the fruit can become, implying that if it's a little bit grown, if it's smadar, then you would look at the value of the field in general. So it's a stira. How are we to make sense of this statement? So Amar Ravina Kroch Vita, that we can fix up the Braisa and include Smadar in the Braisa instead of making it a mashma'us of what's he implying about Smadar. No, incorporate Smadar into the Lashon of the Braisa. And what he meant to say is as follows. Aval achla smadar pagin obosar rono sakilu anav mamdosi batzer, that just throw smadar into the category of the slightly more fully grown peros. So as long as it has emerged and you can recognize that there is a pre over there, whether it's at the stage of smadar or whether it's at a little bit of a later stage, you'd assess the damage based on what its potential is to become. Ihachi, if that's the case, that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, the din of a smadar is like anav momdosli batzer, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, hainu Rabbi Yoshua, then it turns out that he's saying the same thing as Rabbi Yoshua, whereas the Braisa sounds like Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is arguing on Rabbi Yoshua. So says the Gemara, they both hold that you view a smadar as if it's anav momdosli batzer, but ike benayuk chashkufna. What they disagree about is, do you take into account the fact that by cutting off these grapes prematurely, or these figs prematurely, you've preserved some of the nutrients in the tree itself? meaning the tree didn't have to use up its nutrients to produce this fruit and to allow this fruit to grow fully. So yeah, another mandelsli batzel, let's say, are worth $100. But now what I left the guy with is a more valuable tree, because the tree is still saturated with nutrients. So maybe the difference between maybe a $5 difference between a tree that's more saturated with nutrients and less saturated with nutrients should be deducted from what I have to pay. So instead of paying $100, maybe I should only pay $95. So that's the nafkamina. That's the difference between Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda and Rabbi Yoshua. Problem is, v'lo masaymi. We have no idea which one holds which. We just needed to come up with some sort of difference between them. Meaning, if they're both saying that you're paying for another mandelsli batzer, so the only thing we could think of to differentiate between them is the difference in the quality of the tree when the fruits were cut prematurely. But we don't know who would say what. Abaye Amar, Misaymi Misaymi. Abaye says, no, I know who would say what. Man Tana Dechayish L'Chash Kufna. Who's the one that's going to take into account the weakening of the tree had the fruit remained on the tree and fully been given the opportunity to fully develop? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. How do I know? Titania, because in a totally different context, mamish different context, different seder of shas. When we talk about someone who's ma'ani se nara, a mesachas ksubis topic, someone, Rachman al-San, is ma'ani se young girl who's a nara, normally the halach is that you have to pay the father a knas and boshas and pegam and sar, and he has to marry the girl if she's interested. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, onas eino mishal mishat sar. You don't have to pay for the pain of the first time a girl has bia, which is painful for her, so you don't have to pay for that, because at some point in her life she's going to have that sar anyway. Meaning, so you take into account what and deduct from the payment what's going to become and what would have become. So that's Lashit. From there you see that you follow not just what is happening right here in the moment, but what would have been. Similar to the tree, what would have been is it would have been sapped of its nutrients. Amrullah, Eino Domen, Nivellus Baratzon, Nivellus Ba'ones. And the Chum said back to him, the level of tsar is entirely different. Meaning, we get what you're saying, that you take the long game into account and everything. I understand that, but the level of tsar, when a woman, Rachman al Tzlan, is nenas, is entirely different than the level of tsar when she has a husband who loves her and is trying to be gentle. It's an entirely different thing. But the point is that you see that Rav Shimon ben Yehuda thinks that we do deduct from Nezikin that which would have, been a loss anyway. So Amar Abaye just points out, oh, now that we see this concept, Hani Tanoi Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Amru Davar Echad. The following Tanoim that I'm about to quote and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda are on the same page about this. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Hadamaran. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said that you don't pay the tsar because there's going to be tsar anyway, and therefore you deduct that from the fellow's payment. Hani Tanoi, and I'll show you other Tanoim that say something similar. Maihi, what are the Hani Tanoi? Ditanya, we have a brisa that talks about a guy who strikes a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry. So the halach is, you have to pay for the demei vlados. So yeah, you pay for the value of the vlados. But Rabbi Yossi Omer, naki chaya. But what you deduct from that payment is how much the husband would have had to pay for a midwife to deliver his wife, because now he's not going to have to hire a midwife. So you take into account future expenses that have now been avoided because of this terrible damage that you did. So if the demei vlados is, I don't know, $10,000, but a midwife is $500, so he's only going to pay $9,500, because now the husband doesn't have to pay for a midwife. Ben Azay Omer Naki Mizonos, that you also deduct from the cost the extra Mizonos that the husband would have to give the wife while she's in the late stages of pregnancy and she's recuperating from childbirth, meaning she needs her kochos, so you have to buy her more Mizonos in order for her to get her kochos. I was just talking to someone in shul yesterday. He told me that his wife gave birth 4 weeks ago, so he has 11 weeks of paternity leave left. He had 4 weeks fully paid, he's got 11 more weeks. So I said, you need 15 weeks after, he said, they give the women 15 weeks. So they, So the trauma to the body is the same. It's like so unbelievable to me. I mean, the main mezonos, it makes sense for a woman. It's like whatever. But obviously she's going to need more mezonos, and therefore you deduct that because now the husband's not going to have to pay her for the mezonos. So mandi amar naki chaya kol shekein naki mezonos. The one that says that naki chaya, that you take away, that you deduct the amount of that he would have to pay for a midwife, would for sure say, yeah, you deduct from the payment the amount that he would have otherwise had to pay for extra mezonos in the late stages of pregnancy, which she never had the opportunity to get to. Umandi amar naki mezonos, but the one that says that you deduct the payment for the extra mezonos, av naki chayelo, would say that you would not deduct for the cost of the midwife, da amrle, it's a didi, pikrihi, v'lomi bayichaya, because the guy might say, my wife, she's amazing, she could deliver herself, she doesn't need a midwife, and therefore we would have been able to avoid that cost. She's a magician. But mezonos, everybody needs to eat. So, okay, so that's why it's less obvious that you'd be able to deduct the cost of the midwife. So now, as far as a psak halacha, in the basic topic of someone damaging someone else's produce, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, Avud Uvda, Kavaseid, Rav Nachman, Beshishim. They paskin like Rav Nachman, Halacha Lemaisa, where you measure Beshishim, even when it's an Adam that's Mazik produce that's still attached to the field, that you look at Shishim, the times, the amount that was damaged, and you look at that, and that's how you make the assessment. Lishna Achrina, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, Shamu Dikla, Agav Katina, Da, that they assessed a dekel tree that was damaged agav the piece of land, a small field of land, and not like the Reish Galusa said that you should judge it on its own. And we paskin like Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua by a dekel arami that you look at it agav another field. But we do follow the Reish Galusa where you just look at the tree that was damaged and assess, do the assessment just based on that tree alone in a dekel haparsi, which is a very chashva kind of dekel, and therefore it stands alone and it could be assessed alone. So that's the maskana halacha lemaisa. Now the Gemara tells a story about making such assessments. Eliezer Zeira, Eliezer the small one, that was his nickname, probably because of Anivus, have a say misani uchmi, meaning like Shmuel HaKatan, right? You have sometimes someone who's called HaKatan, so Zeira is just Aramaic for HaKatan, so probably means he was a very big anav. Have a say misani uchmi, he was wearing black shoes, v'koy b'shuk of the Narda, and he was walking in the shuk of Narda, ashkud b'erish glusa, the people from the Reish Galusa's house saw him, and they said to him, Maishna Ani Misani, why are you wearing black shoes? Apparently it wasn't the style to wear black shoes, so it was unusual. So Eliezer Zira responded, Dekama Abilna a Yerushalayim, because this is my sign of Avelus for Yerushalayim. How could I wear regular white shoes like everybody else? I have to show a sign of Avelus in Yerushalayim, so I'm wearing black shoes. So they said to him, Ad Chashivat L'Sabula Yerushalayim, who do you think you are, that you're going to have these public displays of mourning over Yerushalayim? You think anybody could just start acting as if they're such a tzaddik that they should be mourning over Yerushalayim? Savar Yuhar Rahava, they thought that he was acting with a sense of Yuhara, with a sense of religious arrogance, as if he's a stilted sense of religiosity, that he's pretending to be something that he isn't really. The Marsha points out that there is a machlokas tanoim in a bunch of places in Shas, in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin, and Psachim Daf Nun Dalid, whether we're choshesh liyuhara or not. So he said, Marsha just points out, the machlokas is not whether there's a concept called yuhara. The machlokas is about particular things, doing malacha in Erev Pesach, and in a place where the minhag is not doing malacha in Erev Pesach, is that yuhara? Meaning it's about specific behaviors, whether it qualifies as yuhara. But the concept of yuhara, yeah, there's definitely such a concept if a person is acting much more religious than he really is. So they arrested him. He said, you can't arrest me, I'm a Gavar Rabba. Meaning, it's not Yuara, it fits. It fits my overall personality. I'm someone who is worthy of expressing such avelus over Yerushalayim. There is a Gemara in the Darim that tells us Rabbi Tarfon once used the Kisra Shel Torah to save himself, that he was caught and he was going to be killed, and he said, no, I'm a Talmud Chacham, and they realized that it was Rabbi Tarfon, and they let him go, and then he was, his whole life, he was mitztayer over the fact that he used the Kisra Shel Torah. So how come over here he wasn't worried about the same thing? Eliezer Zira wasn't worried about using the Kisra Shel Torah. So the Mashar writes, because they themselves said the only reason we're doing this to you is because we don't think you're a Gavra Rabba. I mean, when it came to Rabbi Tarfon, he was just Stam. You know, they arrested him because they thought he was stealing things. So he used the Kisra Shel Torah to get out of that accusation. But over here, the accusation was Dafka that he wasn't a Gavra Rabba. So when it's about that Etzem, you know, thing, he's allowed to say, it's not true, I am a Gavra Rabba. So Amrulay, they said to me, Noya Dinan, how do we know you're a Gavra Rabba? And here's why this story appears. So he says, we'll play a game. Either you could ask me any question, or I'll ask you a question, and we'll see who could outsmart who, and then you'll realize I'm a Gavra Rabba. They said, oh, that's interesting. You ask us first, and we'll see how it goes. So he said to them, okay, here's the question. If a person cuts down dates that are not fully ripened, it's similar to Bosar level of grapes, right? So it's somewhat ripened, not fully ripened. My mishalim, how much do you pay? So Amrulay, mishalim to make kufra. You pay for the for what they're worth right now. So he says, but v'ahavu tamari, didn't you rob the potential of these dates to grow fully and to become much more valuable? So Amrulay, they said, oh, you're right. Mishalim to make tamri. You should pay for the fully ripened dates. That's what you should really pay for. So Amrulahu, hai lav tamri shakal ninei. But you didn't take tamarim from him. You only took partially ripened dates from him. So Amrulay, emilanat. Okay, you stumped us. Meaning, it's not that if you're not going to pay what it is now, and you're not going to pay what it's going to be in the future, so what do you pay? So Amar Lahu, he said, Beshishim. You have to look at 60 surrounding dekel trees with the karka and figure out what people would pay for that karka with these dates on it, what the people would pay for the karka without these dates on it. So Amar Lahu, Manamar Kavsech, they said, yeah, what's your precedent to Paskin that way? Amar Lahu, Shmuel Chayu Beis Dino Kayam. Well, Shmuel's alive and his Beis Din is still around, so why don't we ask them? So Shadu Kameh to Shmuel, they sent the Shailat to Shmuel. Said, yeah, let him go. He's correct that you measure it b'shishim v'shavkuhu, and they let him go. A number of interesting things that emerge from this story. We don't have the time to explore all of them. One of them is just that wearing black is a sign of avelus for the korban. Is that a Jewish thing, that black is a sign of avelus? So in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simtav Kav Samach and Hilchos Tisha B'Av, the Mechaber writes that there are places that they have a minhag to break a kos b'shas chuppah, or to place a mapa shchora or other divrei avelus barosh hachasan. So, okay, we do the breaking the coast part. We never chapped onto that second part. To put on like some sort of black cloth on the chasan said. So you see that black is in fact representative of avelus of the churban. The Bir Agra says, where do we get that from? He says, Ayin perek vav de babakama v'sof midos. The Gra immediately associates it with our Gemara, that you see that wearing black is a sign of avelus. The question is, now that it became a thing that the goyim do, that black is a sign of avelus, does it now become chukas hagoyim and something that we ought not to do? So the Gesher HaChaim writes, he's the classic sefer on avelus, that since the Akum do this minhag of levisha shchorim, it became chukaseim los aleichu, and therefore we shouldn't do it anymore. That's not the way we express avelus, by wearing black. Not all the achronim are convinced that that's true, because there's a shach in Yoredeya that says from the Ritz Geis that the Krovei Ameis wear black, and everyone should do kafi min hago. But that was natural. And Sefer Erech Shai in Yoredeya, he was asked whether it's a violation of B'chuk Seim Lo Selechu, and he said it's a min hakadum. We don't abandon our own min hagim because of a concern that the Gayim chapped onto it, and that and now becomes B'chuk Seim Lo Selechu. It's ours. It was ours first, and therefore we have a right to observe such minhagim. I once had a whole drasha on this Gemara. It's such a strange story that, you know, how is he showing avelus? By wearing black shoes. What kind of shoes does an avel wear? An avel doesn't wear shoes. That's a sign of avelus, wearing black shoes, meaning he's dafka wearing the thing that an avel is not supposed to wear. The whole story is such an unusual story, and the whole thing is about being misabel in Yerushalayim. And the point, the sugya that he chooses to prove that he's right to be misabel in Yerushalayim is about paying for dates that are damaged. So, I don't have time for the whole mahalich now, but the basic mahalich is that when it comes to our attitude toward galus and geula, it's important that You know, sometimes people see a step toward Geula and they think, okay, so that's it. So we have Geula because something happened where there's great potential for Geula. So we could throw away everything else, all of because that's it. We're already at Geula. There's Hakamas HaMedina and there's Geula. So that's automatically. And others say, well, until Geula comes, we have nothing. We have zero, and therefore means nothing to them. And the fact that there's a kibbutz kolios like we haven't had in thousands of years means absolutely nothing to people. But Rabbi Elazar Zeir is saying neither of those is the Jewish attitude. We have to acknowledge that, you know, when there's potential, that it is potential, and we can't just say, oh, right now it's nothing, and therefore you just pay for what it is. But we also can't say that it's everything. And we have to realize that there's still a lot more to go, that, you know, behind the kotel, there's still what's going on there. It's not what we would like. There's still no Beis HaMikdash, there's still no Avodah, there are a lot of things that need to, Rachman al Tzan, there's still so much bloodshed, there's a lot of things that we need to, that we still need to get in line in order to have Geula. So that's what black shoes represent, the ability to move forward, the ability to go, the ability to go out, with the recognition that the shoes are still black, that the shoes are shoes of Avelis. There's more to it, but that's a basic mahalich. I mean, a lot of times people think that, you know, that the belief in Mashiach means that that I believe that I know he's coming today. I don't think you have to know he's coming today. You have to believe he can come today. Meaning, Shachter always says that it's like you have to wake up every morning and say there's a 50-50 chance that Mashiach will come today. So that's a high percent. Most of us don't have that level of emunah that it's 50-50 chance. But at least we have to believe that there is a chance that he should come today. We have to believe he's already come, or that he's definitely going to come. I don't think that's part of what we have to believe. Rabbi Shimon Omar Achle Perus Gemurim. Rabbi Shimon said that if it ate Perus Gemurim, so you pay for Perus Gemurim, whether it's a sa or a sasayim. You don't look at the rest of the field. My taima, what's the basis for Rabbi Shimon? Because Hada Amar Achmanu Bir B'Stei Acher Melamit Sheshamin Al Gav Hasada. That you look at the whole field in order to make the assessment. Hani Mili Midi Tzarich L'Sada. But that's only when it's when the peros are still not fully ripened and they still need the field to grow further. But Hani Kivin Dol Tzrich L'Sada Be'Inayu Balishlume. But when what you damaged are fully ripened peros, even though they happen to still be attached to the tree, well, then you have to assess it based on what, you know, based on just what the payrolls themselves are worth. It's not part of the sada anymore, even though they're still attached to the tree. Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Don Rav K'Rabbi Meir. Rav Paskin like Rabbi Meir, as we're going to explain soon. Pasakilchsa K'Rabbi Shimon. And he taught his Talmidim to Paskin Ledoros like Rabbi Shimon, even though he personally was down a case like Rabbi Meir. Don Rav K'Rabbi Meir, he did like Rabbi Meir in the Brisa D'Tanya. Cause of the Rishon of a person writes to one guy that he's selling a field that's miyuchad to pay, that had been previously designated to pay for his wife's ksuba, and that guy went to the wife to sign on that mechira, because without her haskama it's always going to be meshubat or ksuba and she'll always come back and be able to collect it, and velo chasmelo, she refused to sign on it, and then l'sheni, then the guy went and sold that same field to somebody else, you know, to a second guy, v'chasmelo, and with that guy the woman was willing to sign off on it. So of the ksubasa, by signing off on the second one, we know that she lost her ksuba, because she cannot say, I was just nachas ruach hasisi lebaili, I just didn't want to get my husband upset at me, because you didn't mind getting your husband upset at you the first time he tried. Obviously you just didn't want to go to the first guy, but you were okay with it going to the second guy. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, yecholi shetomer nachas ruach hasisi lebaili malachem alai, that she is able to say that I was just trying to make my husband happy. Upasak hilchsak Rabbi Shimon, but he paskin like Rabbi Shimon, ki haditnan, based on the Mishnah that we had, our Mishnah. That Rabbi Shimon Omer, achla peros gemurin, mishalem es peros gemurin, that if you eat peros gemurin, then you pay for peros gemurin. You don't look at the value of the field, how much was it worth, what would it be worth, 60? No, just look at the value of the peros. Im sa, and you just pay for the value of fully ripened peros. Okay, new Mishnah now. Hamagdish betoch sadeh chaver shalom bereshos. If I pile my grain in someone else's field without any permission to do so, and the behema that belongs to the balasada eats all of my grain. So pater, I don't have to pay for the balasada does not have to pay for the grain that his animal had damaged. The im huzka behen, if the animal of the balasada was damaged from the grain, then balagadish chayiv, then the balagadish has to pay for that, because he had no right to dump all that grain in somebody else's field. So if that grain did damage to the animals, even let's let's talk about not from eating. That you have Hayla Shlotochal, right? So it slipped on the grain. It was a bar that the animal slipped on. So then the Bala Gaddish is going to be Chayiv. But Vim Higdish Berushos, if he put the Gaddish in there with permission of the Bala Sadeh, so then Bala Sadeh Chayiv. Then the Bala Sadeh has to pay for the grain that his animal damaged. And if his animal got damaged from the grain, the guy who put it there is going to be Potter, because he had every right to put it there. Even though he didn't say Beferish that he's being Makabel Shmira of it, nevertheless, since he was maskim that you could put your tefua in my field, that's the equivalent of being mekabel achrayus of shmira on it. So says Gemara, we had a discussion on Daf Mem Zayin, a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, that according to the Chachamim, when you allow someone to bring something into your reshus, an object, a behema, it's as if you're being mekabel to guard that object. Whereas according to Rebbe, no, you're just saying that you can leave it here, but I'm not being mekabel anything. So lema tnan delo kerebi. Our mishnah seems to be not like Rebbe. It sounds like you are taking responsibility for it. Di kerebi ha'marachi kabel of balabayis lishmar. According to Rebbe, you have to actually take responsibility in order to be responsible for it. Just by saying that you can bring it into my property does not imply that you're taking any real level of responsibility. So says Mar Amra Papa, Hacha Binatar Bedari Askinan. There's no right from our Mishnah that we're going against Rabbi, because our Mishnah might be talking about the guy who's the Shomer of the Granos, that all the Bnei Bika make their piles in one field, and they appoint a Shomer to watch over those Granos. So the Kivan Damerle, Ayil Gdosh, once he says you can put it in my field and pile it up, Ayil Vantalachu, his job is to be the shomer. So he means put it here and I will watch it, because that's what he always does. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Tes Amud Beis. Everyone have a wonderful day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a good day.